And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, once again, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio Chris Knoll, who is the Director of Public Works now for how long?
Coming up on 3 years.
3 years.
Yes, sir.
How does it feel to be an old
This has been a fast 3 years, which I say, you know, that's good because it means I'm staying busy and I'm enjoying it. So
I was thinking about that coming over here this morning. I said, you know, there's one we're going to be talking about some of the projects that
sure.
listeners will be interested in hearing. They'll be happening this summer and year. And I thought, okay, one, how many people actually work for Public Works full time, and what do you do each day as you go into it? Because now you've been here long enough to mm-hmm. see there's a pattern and there's all kinds of stuff that's both expected and unexpected to happen. So
sure.
How many people first?
So I think our full-time staff, we're looking like right around 18,
okay.
I would say. 18 okay. full-timers. We do have a lot of seasonal part-time people. you know, we had a great part-time seasonal staff of groundskeepers last year. We'll be bringing them back on here probably first week of May. Tracy Mays will be our groundskeeper foreman again this year. So those guys will be stepping back in. We do have a couple seasonal part-time over the winter to
right.
help us with
right.
with those, you know, snow removal, snow plowing that on and that stuff.
So I'm guessing that what happens is there's a pattern of when people come to work each day, they don't say, what shall we do today?
No. So, between me and Greg Wickham, my superintendent, we've kind of intentionally, I kind of divided kind of the things that he and I do. He being a military background, he's kind of my sergeant major.
Got it.
And he runs that day-to-day stuff. So he makes sure that the roads crew has tasks that they're going to be working on. You know, he works with the utilities foreman to make sure they've got water, sewer, and the wastewater plant have things that they're working on. So he kind of runs that day-to-day stuff, and I stay focused more on projects and making sure projects are moving, making sure we've got funding for those projects and all of that kind of outside of the public works daily stuff is happening.
Because what I note when I'm walking about town, I see, I've recognized many of the people that work for Public Works mm-hmm. over the years, and I see them in all kinds of different vehicles. Obviously, very prominent in the winter, there's snow removal.
Yes.
But there'll be a truck or a sanding truck, or there'll be something happening where something being dug up and somebody's there. So what my impression is that the people who work in Public Works don't just do one thing.
Oh, no, we do a lot of things. So we've got, if we've got streetlights, if there's a break, if for some reason a streetlight's not working, we've got guys that go out and try to find out what's happening. Why is this particular streetlight not functioning correctly? Is it a break in the line? If we do find a break, can we fix it, or do we need a contracted electrician to come in and fix it? We do, obviously, our roads maintenance. Yesterday and the day before, we've been out trying to fill in potholes.
Right.
We everything from keeping storm drains open. We've been working on that too lately with the seems like breakups here. Trying to make sure that water can flow off the roads and whatnot. Minor projects that we can do. I don't know if you've been over to the Arboretum, but last summer we put in that
yep.
parking lot.
Very nice.
And the split rail fence over there. Got a couple other things we're going to do this summer over there. Just kind of jack of all trades for the crew that works over there at Public Works.
But I'm interested your mentioning of what you can do and what you have to offload because so there's got to be an interesting decision making that goes on to say, okay, we can do this, or really because of time or the particular skills required, et cetera, it would be more cost effective to hire someone to come in and do it.
So perfect example of that one, and so we have some required updates based on the lease for the Alaska Troopers that we'll be working this summer. So Greg and I will sit down and go, okay, look, here's kind of the parameters of what needs to be done. What of those can we do based on our daily operations and stuff for building maintenance type stuff? And what of those, you know, whether it's electrical work or something like that, do we need to have a contractor come in? And then based on that, we'll say, okay, yeah, we can do those things. So take those out of the scope of work, and those are the things we can't do. So we're going to have to put in, you know, we'll have to bid out a project to do those. So,
okay. Yep. Very good. And, of course, over the years, particularly the value of having people who understand, been doing this stuff, those kinds of decisions are not simply black and white. There's a kind of a nuance to it, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So, yeah, you know, and I, Greg, you know, we have guys that do all different sorts of things. So, you know, we've got our building maintenance guys between Dave Witt and Mark Hotchkiss. Mark's kind of more a little bit, he'll do some of the building stuff, but he's more kind of like our Mark is a very artistic mind.
I've seen the work.
So yeah, he does a lot of outside stuff. He's actually built most of the or put together most of the I Love Palmer bike racks, that kind of stuff. He does our road painting and stuff in the summer, that stuff that we can do. Whereas Dave Witt is more in buildings, fixing building issues. So we will talk to those guys and when we're flushing out a project to say, okay, you know, do we think we can get at those, or do we got just too much stuff going on, or is it too much based on what needs to happen for you to do?
Well, that's a nice foundation to segue to projects for this upcoming spring, summer, and fall.
Yeah. So
what's on the docket?
So we've got a couple big projects coming up this summer. Not as much as we had last year, but our biggest project this year is we're continuing on with our ADA sidewalk improvement. About a $300,000 project. We got a nice grant again from the ATAP program, which is a federal program run by the state. Mm-hmm. And so we are going to be focused on the east side of town, over around the ball fields, the borough buildings.
Right.
So Elmwood, and then coming down Dahlia past the Ale House, and then back to Valley. Then we're going to come down a little bit down Valley and in front of the Museum Visitor Center.
Okay.
That little area right in there needs some work.
God. Oh, yes.
And then we've got one other block over here on the west, kind of the west side of the tracks that needs some help, and that's Fireweed and Elmwood, that kind of block right there. And then we're almost done with the west side of town, and then we're going to keep focused over there on the east.
So one of my pet projects is the focus on crossing the tracks. Mm-hmm. They'll go from west to east to west. And because of what exists there in roadway and rail, et cetera, how there really isn't a contiguous sidewalk.
Right.
Clearly. I mean, if you come on down South Alaska and you hang a left and you're going to go across the tracks and it becomes a no-person land. It's like, okay, open. And that's just on the side that has something. Of course, the other side has nothing.
Right.
Is there anything going to be done about that continues the beautiful bike path that rolls along and then sort of dumps you into...
So one of the things that we are looking for, 2020
Got
sidewalk.
It. Okay.
And I've already put in a request for a grant for that. And that actual area right there that you're talking about is part of that.
Good.
Because you're right, there is a disconnect in the sidewalk there as you come across the driveway that comes on the south side of the depot and then cross the tracks there.
Right.
So if that one is approved, obviously that's something I got to work with the railroad on because we're definitely in their right of way there and they like to know everything that's going on. And then kind of get their approval or denial on what we want to do there. But as far as a bike path or anything that would continue kind of on south, that's yet another part of that project. Kind of connecting the what is planned to come in from the Glen Highway.
Got it.
As you come up South Colony.
Right.
I think they're supposed to end at like Geranium right in there for a bike path coming in. Then we want to probably put in a crosswalk there to the west side of South Colony or the east side of South Colony and connect into the path that's already there. We're looking at what we need to do to, is there anything that needs to be fixed on that path? Can we maybe widen it or, you know, whatever we need to do to fix that path so it can handle, you know, bikes and more foot traffic, and then bringing that on up and connecting it in to kind of the Friday Fling Central area.
Okay, because if we go down a little bit further down the tracks toward the Pioneer Home, mm-hmm. obviously there are tracks there and there's sidewalks that go across there.
Yes.
I mean, it works.
Yes.
So that would be good. I'm curious about, you mentioned, of course, crosswalks. And one of the questions that comes up, I've heard this often, is why aren't there crosswalks? For example, if you look at Evergreen, mm-hmm. The flashing red light, there's a crosswalk there, mm-hmm. and the next one is the Glen Highway.
Yes.
but there's a lot of, you know.
Yeah. So I would say there's not, only because when kind of planning crosswalks, you want to make sure, for the most part, you want to make sure that it's a controlled intersection. If there's no control there to stop a vehicle,
right,
then your chances of something happening, an incident happening, are much greater increased.
Right.
I have not looked at putting in crosswalks along Evergreen. Mm-hmm. I would say if we were going to do that, we would need to do some kind of a traffic flow study. Although when the Glen Highway is done, there will be a light there at Cobb. So there will be crossings there. Once that goes in. But again, that's a controlled intersection, so there's not zero chance that something could happen, you know, pedestrian and vehicle. But it's much lower percentage.
I understand that. My observation is that without it, people are more likely, because people do want to go across Evergreen from one side to the other. And people, without a designated place, cross anywhere. Mm-hmm. Because it's not in the cards for anybody to walk up to the Glen, cross over, and then come back down, mm-hmm. or walk down to the flashing red light, go across, and go back up if you're going, from any of those businesses on the south mm-hmm. side over to the City Hall.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just one of those, I appreciate the difficulty. It's just that it's again, one of those situations that calls for some kind of creative solution that will help people walk around and not be, I think, subject to the dominance of the road, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. and the way it is. But since we've brought up crosswalks, one of my favorite topics, of course, is what I heard at a number of meetings recently, and that is the painting of crosswalks. And we have the traditional painting, and Public Works has been involved with that. But there's bubbling up, I think I can describe it that way, interest into a more creative, artistic painting of crosswalks across mm-hmm. the way. And I know this is in the beginning stage, but there's at least one city council member and one member of one of the advisory boards mm-hmm. that's very much interested. And there's a possibility that, because you don't start painting until when?
We will probably start in probably late May, mid to late May, just depending on the weather.
So some, if the people that are interested get that all together and approach the proper people, Public Works and Parks and Rec, or whoever it is, that we'll do that. So just a heads up, my understanding is that there may be enough momentum and enthusiasm because of spring and summer to have that happen, which is not unique. It's something that has occurred in other cities around the country. Yeah,
that's something that you know, as I've talked with the city manager about this potential project, and it's something that, you know, we're more than happy to support.
So we'll be doing a look over time here and see how that goes. But let's talk about the other projects that are coming up this year.
Sure. We're going to be finishing up the last part of kind of the City Hall parking lot project. You know, last year we did the front side of City Hall, the kind of the customer parking area. We also did some upgrades at Fire Station 3-1.
Right.
They had their driveway was just kind of sinking, so we went in and fixed that. And then the last part of it that'll be done this year is that that back parking area. So then we'll be done with parking lot around City Hall. And then what's another big one? So I was asked, the city manager was asked by the council to look at a crosswalk on Arctic.
Right.
As Valley crosses Arctic, and what the possibility would be and the process for putting in a crosswalk there. So we are working with a local engineer firm and state DOT to get a crosswalk approved. It's actually at DOT right now review. And then based on their approval, I will bring that back to council with a cost estimate. And if they say, yes, keep going, then we'll keep going. And we might be able to get that in this summer. But if they say, you know, cost is just too much, because there are a lot of requirements that we have to meet because it is a state road. We have to meet their requirements for this crosswalk, and it is a wider road, so it would need an island, a safety island out there in the middle, in that middle kind of turn lane. And the crosswalk wouldn't be set right at the intersection, because that intersection is not a square intersection. It's, you know, a valley kind of runs northeast, southwest a little bit. So we would have to back the crosswalk to the west down Arctic, probably about 100 yards.
Oh, really? That far?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
To allow to still have a left or north turn lane to turn onto North Valley, but still give you enough turn radius to turn west on Arctic.
Now, that you mention it, I realize, yeah, of course, there's that center turn lane. That's a wide road there. It narrows down afterwards.
Yes,
as you head there,
yes.
But right through there.
But right through there, it's still
Pretty wide.
Pretty wide road.
Yeah.
So a lot of things that we had to meet as far as state requirements. So we've done that in design, and that is at the state right now, DOT, for review and approval. So we're just waiting on that back.
Well, speaking of DOT, of course, I see the beginnings, the rumblings, action on the big road through the Glen.
Yes, I've noticed a little bit of movement out there too. I don't know of a date when they were officially going to start back to their on their construction. I actually had a question out for them yesterday, but didn't get a response.
So, for listeners, just an idea of what role does Public Works have, because even though obviously they're building this big road, it touches and goes through the heart of Palmer. What do you guys do?
Absolutely. So we have a lot of our water utility that runs along the Glen Highway, providing water to the hospital.
Got it.
So we have been asked to come out and do locates for them to make sure that they don't hit our water main. But we also jumped on the opportunity to expand our future capacity by putting in some crossings and paying to have crossings put in while the road's already torn up. It's much cheaper to do it. It's much cheaper to do it when the road's already torn up than
right.
to decide later. Oh, we need a crossing, or we got to get from one side of the road to the other with our water main, and then you either got to bore under the road or tear up the road. And so let's just get it done now.
Well, that's pretty good. And as I understand, I keep being reminded that there will be a bike path extension that will go from essentially Evergreen down to the fairgrounds
yes.
area. As some people have noted, it's on the west side.
It is.
not on the east side, which means that you have to cross over twice if you're
yes.
coming out of town to utilize that to get on down.
Yes, but right... As it's designed, at least at those crossings, it is a controlled intersection.
So, got it.
So there will be lights at both of those spots where you would want to cross over. So.
And the big thing, as I note, is the light that's going in there where the Noisy Goose and Edmunds Auto are located, and over to the fairgrounds. There's going to be a light in that area, and you're no longer going to swoop into town by just bearing to the right, but you'll
yes.
actually have to make a right-hand
the
turn.
The Y will not be there,
yes,
as we like to call it.
Yes.
The little Y intersection
right.
there as
right.
you're coming north.
Have to change our description of
yes.
what to do when you're heading
yes.
to the Palm.
Yeah. Instead of taking the right to come in, kind of like you said, swoop into town, you'll come up to where you would normally, if you were going south, and mm-hmm. you'd come up and kind of follow the road to the right, and then make your left hand turn onto the Glen. There'll be a light right there. Yeah.
So right now, expectations. Any sense of when that is that going to be running by the end of this building year? Into the fall?
That would be complete speculation on my part.
Sure.
But I hope so. I think that was the plan for them to be done this summer. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they got a lot of work to do. Depending on how the weather treats us. So
we diverted into that. Are there any other projects that somehow we have neglected to talk about?
You know, we've got a lot of smaller projects going on this summer, more along the parks and recreation kind of side of things. You know, we're the tennis courts need some help.
Right.
We know that. Do we have funds in there to do a complete rip out and resurfacing of the tennis courts? No, but we did find an actual resurfacing leveling paint.
Oh.
That you can get in the colors of paint that you need. Right now, we're trying to get it shipped up here. We can't find anyone that's willing to ship it up here, but we're working on that. And what we want to do is just try it on one of the tennis courts.
Okay.
And I've been talking about this with the tennis association, so they're prepared. But yeah, if we can get that up here, we're going to try to do at least one of the courts and just see how that holds up. If that holds up, that might buy us another couple years before we have to resurface the whole thing.
And I've noticed that there's been what appears to me to be increasing use of
yes.
those tennis courts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So we want to try to get something out there that might level it out. I don't know if you've been out there, but they're just, you know, over time and weather, and we know what the weather does to
right.
concrete and those flat surfaces where water might sit on it. You know, the paint that's out there is just, and the surfacing is just kind of chipping up.
Not good for quality play.
No. So we're trying to help them out and get something in there that'll help level those tennis courts out.
Now, there's the city manager pointed out some of the construction that's happening, and I'm guessing that you have obviously there's some role from Public Works. There's new construction there at Arctic in the Glen. There's
yes.
new construction just outside the city
mm-hmm.
and so on. So if there's a major project of a large building, what role does Public Works play there?
Sure. So we will do a review of the plans, make sure that things are in line with our building specs,
mm-hmm.
Meet any code issues that might fall into public works, but not many of them, not many code issues fall into public works. We focus more on building specifications, that kind of stuff. So yeah, we'll do a full plan set review, ask any questions that we might have, or ask them to adjust some things based on what we're seeing on those plans. For example, you're referring to on the corner of Arctic and the Glen, the car wash,
right,
convenience store that's going in there. One of our biggest concerns is the amount of water coming into our stormwater system.
Exactly.
So we had several questions back and forth with them on clarifying the amount, you know, the volume of water coming in based on, you know, right now it's dirt. So we get a lot of water just, you know, seeping into the ground. That takes a lot of it out of our stormwater system. But when you pave all that, now all of it is going to our stormwater system.
Yeah.
Changes the whole dynamic of the water hydrology, I guess, of that,
sure,
of that area. So we had, you know, a good number of questions. We actually ran models to see what that amount of water potentially, and not from the actual car wash, from actual rain.
Of course, about rainwater. Right, that too.
The car wash manages itself as far as the water that it's producing. I'm worried about rainwater. And so we'll look at, you know, a couple different levels of events, you know, a two-year storm, five-year storm, 10-year storm, those bigger storms that will put a much larger strain on our wastewater, or not wastewater, but stormwater system. So okay, we look at stuff like that. And
great. That's a great example. Chris, I want to thank you for coming in today. Mike Malewski, I've been talking with Chris Nall here, who directs the Public Works Department. You have about 10 seconds for a last comment.
No, it's just great to be here this morning. I appreciate the
all
time.
Right. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you again as we continue on with this series. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malewski. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.